Good afternoon or good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wissam Sharafuddin speaking to you from Dearborn Blog and the second episode of We Are In This Together. And this is today we are in March 21st, 2020, and it is 7 p.m. And we have our first guest with us. Our first guest to this series is Mr. Hadi Al-Dibiq. Mr. Hadi Al-Dibiq is a musician, composer, and cultural entrepreneur based in New York City. He has collaborated with prominent figures and institutions in the arts, culture, and education sectors, including Yo-Yo Ma's Silk Road Ensemble, Harvard Graduate School of Education, the Kennedy Center, TED, Disney World, Imagineering, and more. Hadi founded several cultural startups, including Grand PA, Circle World Arts, and the Brooklyn Nomads. His TED Talk discussing the importance of funding the arts and artists has gone viral with over 1.25 million views. We're going to post a link to it in the comments, so make sure you see it. So welcome, Hadi, from New York.
Thank you for having me, Wissam.
It's a pleasure to have you, and thank you very much for joining us today.
Happy to.
As you know, we are living very special circumstances, and we are living history right now. By really, it might be perhaps the biggest event of our lifetime. Would you agree?
It might be. I think, like in our modern history, we've been reading a lot about these previous events in our history with famines and smallpox, and where people, 27% of the population dies. But once you live something similar to it, your perception of that fact changes completely. You start to feel the heat, as they say.
Yes, it's something like this that we've read about, all of a sudden to be in the middle of. I can't feel it yet. I still feel I'm a spectator, and yeah, it doesn't feel real for some reason.
Yeah, I hear you. I actually had this reaction and conversation with my brother the other day. I was telling him that I don't know if it's gonna hit me at some point. You know, sometimes when you're about to travel, like you go back home, you're with your family, and then you're about to leave, and you feel everything's fine, but once you actually get much closer to the departure time, you feel different. You feel that it has hit you at that moment. I feel I'm still there. I don't feel I'm at the airport. Mm-hmm. You know? So I don't know how it would feel like to get there. I hope we don't get there. I hope we overcome this before.
But yeah, I was gonna say, I hope you never make it to the airport.
Yeah. But, you know, it seems there's a lot of uncertainty about what's happening today. And I'm trying not to let this uncertainty affect me negatively, but in a way, keep me positive.
And Hadi, you're a musician, and you're always busy in New York in different performances, putting musical and artistic projects together. You're very creative. I know you personally, and you're one of the most creative people I've met. We've sat in certain sessions where in the middle of the session, you create something new or you come up with ideas that really, you know, lights up a bulb over everyone's head. So I feel that this time has a different effect on you. So tell us about New York, mm-hmm. the greatest city in the world, and allow me to say that. And tell us, how does New York feel now? I mean, we've seen movies where New York is after the apocalypse, but now walking in the streets, it must feel something eerie about it. And tell us about those feelings, and then tell us about you personally, like how are you handling this first week of quarantine?
Well, you know, I am committed. I have been committed to quarantines, and I haven't been going out that much, except within the proximity of my blood, just like to walk and see, you know, get fresh air and see the sunlight. But from what I'm seeing, from hearing the news and checking on my friends who live in the city, yes, things are significantly changing. People are feeling the panic. They are staying in. They are respecting the quarantine, which is good for everyone. We've all seen pictures from New York, you know, Times Square, where it's pretty empty, which is obviously not the picture we have in mind for that space. Definitely, there is an impact of what's happening. It's both explicit and implicit, and the implicit impact is on the lifestyles of people and their emotions, and especially those who aren't used to staying home for too long and feeling in a way imprisoned or having more constraints than they are used to. Now, luckily, as a musician and a freelancer who get to work from home and from my studio a lot, in that sense, I haven't been impacted that much. You know, I've been spending most of my time indoors. Obviously, I go outdoors when I have something to do, but when it's spring or summertime, I go to the pier, I go to the park. I like to be in nature. I would say I'm realizing I'm a bit of an introvert, so that hasn't been affecting me too much. I've been impacted with the gigs that I've been doing and my business, of course, because it's obviously a community experience business, and many artists, including me, many artists have been affected negatively with that, but also many other businesses, and it feels that the financial and economical impact is something that will continue to go down. And I honestly, I'm trying to be observant of where this might take us and what implications this could have on our economy and our society as a whole.
So Hadi, as you know, when this started, if I've interviewed you a week ago, it would have been completely different from today. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really sure if I interview you a week from now, if it's going to be the same or not. Yeah. So I feel like we are recording history as it happens. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the purposes of this program, is to actually record the feelings of people, the actual life of people, rather than everything that we're hearing is scientific data and news and impact. But yeah. I wanted this program to be really dedicated to the feelings, emotions, thoughts, aspirations, fears, desires of humans all over the world. So you, as you said, that you know you've walked the city of New York. You know, I know that New York is a very dense area. The usually, you know, rent is very high. Usually, several roommates occupy the same space. It's a very densely populated area, and I always thought to myself how it must be much harder for New Yorkers to isolate. Being, you know, packed into these houses and spaces together, how is it happening in New York? How is social isolation happening among these circumstances?
I wouldn't say it's easy, but at the same time, you know, people around the world and in New York City, they're starting to see the gravity of what's happening. And we understand this is no joke. And at this point, the best we could do to protect ourselves is to stay in and to be cautious of not, like, you know, being in crowded spaces, whether it is public transportation or venues or restaurants and stuff like that. So some people are obviously connecting with their loved ones through virtual methods, you know, Skype or WhatsApp. Similarly, you know, what we're doing now with this live call as well, these are all alternatives to physical presence. So people are resorting to this. I don't know how, you know, a house with 4 or 6 roommates function at this point. I don't know, like, what kind of dynamics and what kind of tension exists in such circumstances. I don't experience that myself, so it's hard for me to tell. But what I do know is that many of my friends, whether they have full-time jobs, they are full-time employees, or if they are freelancers and artists, their projects and their physical presence is no longer needed. And instead, they are asked to work from home, or their gig or theater play is postponed, and now they just have to fill their time with work or some other creative stuff.
So if a group of roommates are living together in a house and you know, they have different ways of reacting to this, and not all of them as strict about isolation as others, do you know of any story that actually creates tension?
I don't, actually. And
other than your imagination.
Other than my imagination. I mean, if it will be difficult, man. Like, yeah, imagine you have 6 people or 4 people in a house, and one of them, you know, is not committing to the social distancing, and that, you know, that is dangerous exposure for the others. But let alone if they are committing to social distancing, and each of them have like different characters or coping mechanisms, some being loud, some being like completely depressed, some being completely vocal, it's not easy times, and it definitely requires a lot of awareness and a lot of understanding and compassion to make it work.
Thank you. So what do you think, how do you think we're going to come out of this if this is hopefully doesn't really take a very sharp turn to the worst? How do you think so far, how are we going to get out of this emotionally? What things have changed in you permanently, you feel?
Mm. That's a good question, Wissam. Well, one thing, again, as I was saying, like, it would probably differ from one person to another. I think one thing that most people will probably come out with is a sense of appreciation, more appreciation to what's around us, more appreciation for the things that we can no longer have access to physical touch, to physical presence, to community, to being outside, to freedom, to walking out anytime you want, and being, you know, within 6 feet or 2 feet distance from someone else without feeling worried. I believe we will definitely appreciate these small things, which we are ought to appreciate all the times. So that is a good reminder, I would say. Maybe another thing is understanding or also remembering how vulnerable we are and how small most conflicts are related to what really happens in life. When it comes to life and death, when it comes to a shared disaster and catastrophe like the one we're living now, people tend to come closer together and they tend to become more compassionate with each other. And that makes me wonder, like, do we need to have a disaster to bring us together? I definitely hope not. There is less talk about war now which is good, but wars are still happening, unfortunately. You know, like the war on Yemen continues. There are definitely a lot of other, you know, conflicts in the world that are still happening. If anything, I hope we come out of this with a more elevated and mature, higher self kind of realizations that makes us focus on bringing well-being and to the world, to the people around the world, and less about greed and going into disastrous conflicts. This is actually from like the individual, maybe, as well as communal and larger entity point of view. I will also want to address the environment. You know, I think we read some reports recently about places where the industries has stopped work because of the quarantine, and nature has been flourishing. You know, whether it is in places in Asia or in Europe or in America, all over the continents. And this is a reminder for us to just like be more respectful to Mother Nature. I don't think what's happening to us now is a punishment. Although what we have been doing to Mother Nature and to Earth deserves punishment, but I don't look at it this way. I think in nature we are not the only living organisms, and we're not the only species that has superiority over different things. So I really hope that we get out of this with a change in the whole system. And I hope that we don't just continue to do the previous patterns once we are out of it.
Thank you, Hadi. As far as creative work, do you feel that this has inspired you for any type of new work, or it has inspired you in a work that you're already working on with a different vision?
I'm definitely doing creative work. I'm continuing to do my creative work. I am practicing more. I think one change that has happened due to this event is this kind of urge to put my work out sooner than later. I have some projects that I've worked on that I haven't really publicized yet. And I think I feel that, okay, this is the time to put it out there. You never know what will happen, and I would like to share it with more people. Creatively speaking, I am thinking of a few projects that I've been contemplating back in the days, and some of them were projects that could be virtually shared. So I'm thinking more about how to make that happen these days. I'm not there yet, but I have time to think about them.
Now, you know, artists, they already are struggling to make a living out of their art, and this is one of the subjects that you were you've talked about, especially in your TED Talk. Mm-hmm. Which is a very important talk. We're going to leave a link for the audience to watch it. Now, you know, with all the talk about, well, first of all, about the wave of, let me say, socialist talk with the elections. Mm-hmm. There is and the big support of youngsters. That has been shown to the one of the candidates, and now with all the talk of the government of supporting and directly people by giving them payments or etc. I think that and now with a large percentage of the workforce out of work, the idea of UBI, the universal basic income, and the idea of a bigger government is really more palatable. Like it's going to be something that more people buy in after mm-hmm. this crisis. And I think that goes with your proposal, which is a tiny little fraction from these bigger proposals. And it feeds right directly into our human, you know, the reason why we live. Like right now, we are feeling it the most. We are feeling that deprivation of things that we took for granted before, a simple walk in the park or going to a museum or, you know, enjoying a concert, enjoying a play. So do you feel that this will actually be a forward step to art after getting out of this conflict? Or do you feel that there is going to be a different level of prioritization that's going to throw art even further down the priorities of governments or people?
That's a good question. I surely hope that we will come out of this with more appreciation for the arts and artists. Definitely the arts and artists is that have taken a big toll from a big hit from what happened. And I'm talking obviously in like more financial and economical terms here, right? I feel from what I've been working on in the past, I feel that the system, most systems around the world do not appreciate or value the artist's exhibition. Despite the fact that the arts and artists bring so much to the economy and bring so much to the society on multiple levels. We're not just talking from economical and financial, but also we're talking about the well-being, we're talking about documenting the culture, we're talking about expressing the identity, we're talking about giving people more to think about and to appreciate and to live through. And sometimes the arts is about a beautiful thing. Sometimes the arts is about an ugly part of us, an ugly side of us, but that in its own is important and is beautiful. It will obviously be so sad if we get out of this and we decided to cut down more and more on arts and on education. But unfortunately, because the system that is currently existing hasn't changed really, I don't see like how coming out of this will prioritize the artists and the arts more and more, unless we do a radical change. And that radical change have to start with the mindset first. Like we have to really understand and start to appreciate and value the arts in our communities. We have to appreciate the idea of the thought and the project and the play and the music, and create a system where all creative people who have so much to give our society are supported. Because otherwise, you will not have a society that is generating a lot of beauty and discussing a lot of important thoughts. That's my opinion on this.
Thank you. Do you have any final thoughts about this crisis and a message to artists, to fellow artists, and then to fellow humans all over?
My message to all the people is to stay strong and positive, and as much as we can, of course, to take advantage of what's happening in terms of self-reflections, in terms of thinking about what we would do once we are out of this, but also what we would do currently to use our time efficiently. Obviously, we can no longer take everything for granted. The communicating with our loved ones now is beautiful and is important and is supportive. My message for my fellow artists, I mean, I don't want to preach at all here. I could talk about my own experience. Like I feel that this time is giving me this event has given me more time to practice, to think about a few things. I'm trying to share more and more. I'm trying not to postpone some of my projects and just keep them in the drawer. So maybe one thing I would say, like, hey, if you feel that you want to take your ideas out of the drawer and share it with the world and the community around you, go for it. I know it's not easy. It hasn't been easy for me to just keep on like sharing stuff and exposing myself, but I think it's worth it. I'm working on it, and it definitely gives me satisfaction when I see someone else is doing it.
Okay. Hadi, if you don't have any more thoughts, we'll give you time if you want to share any more. But we will end these episodes with a habit or a ritual. And this ritual is, I'm going to ask you, what is the last book that you read or that you're reading? Uh-huh. What is the last song that you heard? Uh-huh. You have to answer honestly.
Yeah. Okay.
And the last film, the last show. And also, if there is a game or film that you recommend.
Okay.
And then you will add a question that you will answer, but it will be added and asked to every guest after you.
I like that.
So we'll start with book. What book are you reading or you've read?
The last book I read, what was the last book that I read, actually? I have this habit sometimes, like, I read one book at the same time, but like this one, I've been reading Tolstoy. Mm-hmm. Short stories. Yeah, there is a story, The Prisoner of Caucasus.
It's a good theme for now.
It's one of the latest book I read. There is this book. There is also Sapiens that I read and enjoyed. There's like some Arabic book, Haki Saraya. It's a book about like folk tales and folk sayings.
From who?
What's that?
Who's the author?
Salam al-Rasi.
And what book do you recommend?
Well, I mean, I like sci-fi. I would recommend Three Body Problem. It's a sci-fi book by a Chinese author that I forget his name, but it's one of the books that I certainly enjoyed. So for sci-fi readers, I recommend that.
What is it called again?
Three Body Problem.
Three Body Problem.
Yeah.
All right. Because we'll type these later in the comments, and we'll also leave a link for them. Okay, last song you heard, and then a song that you recommend.
Well, last song I heard, honestly, just like not too long ago, it's one of the songs that I wrote and composed for a project I did for Facebook. There are one of 12 songs for Facebook Creator Studio. I could share the link later with you guys. It's a song that is called "Illi Kilmi," like tell me a word. In terms of suggesting a song, recommending a song, there's so much to recommend. Like I don't know even like where to start, honestly. But there's this song. Hold on, I'm gonna actually.
Yeah, feel free to put it in the comments. Yeah.
Yeah. There is. Oops. Correct. I like just to listen to soundtracks of movies and some musicals. So I don't know if you ever seen Wes Anderson's Fantastic Mr. Fox. Uh-huh. It's a stop motion animation, and it has some beautiful music score. So, you know,
interesting. Can you share your screen? Do you want to share your screen?
I'll share the link to those. Actually, I think it will be more efficient. Mm-hmm. There's also a musical that I started listening to yesterday. It's called Hatestown. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got our recommendations for song. The last film that you've watched.
The last film that I watched, earlier today I saw this film on Netflix. It's an Arabic animation film called Masamir. It's, I think, a Saudi production. I used to like watch a few episodes here and there on YouTube. Mm-hmm. It was okay, you know, it wasn't the best, but you know, that's one last animation film that I've seen. What I would recommend in terms of movies, you know, it's a classic, like "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou." It's a classic movie that I probably recommend to people.
Great. Okay, and a show like on Netflix or on another streaming service?
Yeah, I actually was watching Kingdom. It's a Chinese show, it's a Netflix production. I really enjoyed it. It was good. It's like it's very resonant with our times because it talks about a pandemic, and it's more of like historical zombie kind of show, but when you watch it, you could feel like so much parallelism with what we're living now. Another show I watched like a month or two ago with my aunt, actually, it's a Egyptian show. It's called This Evening, Had Al Masa. It's also on Netflix. It was really well done, and I was
really impressed. You recommend it?
I would recommend it. Yeah. Great talents in our in the Arab world. Like, it made me proud of the talents we have over there.
What was the name of the Chinese program? Sorry?
Kingdom.
Kingdom, okay. Shows Hadi recommends. This Evening.
Yeah.
And Kingdom. And finally, a game. I don't know, online game or a board game or.
I'm big on chess, man. I like chess.com. So
it's a safe answer.
it is what I do. So beyond that, I don't really know or explore many online games. So chess.com is my go away.
Okay. Chess.com, anyone can create an account and play?
Yes.
And you get ranking and you go up in ranking?
Exactly. Yeah.
What's your ranking right now?
Now it's like 1550 or like, you know.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, pretty good, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you pick who you play with? Maybe we can play a chess game together one day.
Yes, we can. Yeah, we should go for it. This is the challenge.
Okay, and the final part is a question that you ask and that we will add to this show. What do you want to hear other guests answer on this show?
My question would probably be, what was the last, and you know, feel free to phrase it your way, but what was the last thought or idea that gave you the aha that gave you like an aha moment that that made you contemplate and slow down and just think more about it? That would be good.
Can we call it an epiphany?
Epiphany might be like too big of a word, you know. It's like a lot of pressure. More of like, what is like an idea that you thought of that made you feel like, oh, I want to share this with others. Like this is something that I'm curious about. For example, and I'm gonna answer the second part of your question, which is, what's my answer to this?
Yes,
I was thinking the other day how we have different characters within us that when we say you or when we say I, it's an oversimplification of who the individual is, and that is, there are multiple yous within you, and there are multiple I's within me. And one idea I had recently is that you shouldn't, and we shouldn't, suppress these different parts of us. It's a process to learn who are these different selves within you. And instead of suppressing them for one reason or another, it's worthwhile to getting to know them more, to listen to them, and to make deals with them and say like, okay, listen, I heard you. I don't think that this is the best moment to deliver your needs. However, I acknowledge them and I'm gonna deliver them later tonight or later in the day or whatever it is. And I tried that technique and I found it very useful.
That's an awesome idea. So you reflect on the different voices that are inside of you and you actually interact with them.
Interact with them and you manage them. I think like management is like ultimate in self-management. Like, how can you manage your different selves? And I think awareness, in a sense, is when you are aware of which one of you is currently you, and at the same time, how the other yous are feeling in this moment.
Yeah.
It's a lot of awareness, like, and paying attention to not only how you yourself feeling, but also the different parts of you are feeling. It sounds philosophical, a lot of yous, you are here and there, so.
It's definitely.
Not you.
definitely it's an amazing thought. I mean, I've always felt in meditation, when you're observing and not controlling and just observing all these voices and thoughts, that I'm almost, these voices start to become personalities, like you're saying, different characters. The problem with me is I have a lot of those, that they're almost a school.
Exactly.
I become a principal of.
Exactly. That's it. You're constantly managing your inner world. You have to thrive, in my opinion. I have to thrive to be a great leader within my inner world. And that's a journey. That's a lifelong journey. Very difficult.
Well, Hadi, thank you very much for accepting our invitation and being our first guest on the We Are In This Together.
And thank you for having me. It was a pleasure talking to you, as always.
And I hope that we will meet soon in person. It seems like almost a fantasy these days.
Yeah.
And all the best to you. Stay safe. And hopefully we'll see you again. To our viewers, thank you very much for watching us. Please share this if you find it useful. We will be tomorrow at 7 p.m. with Dr. Adnan Jaber from Dearborn. And we will announce our next guests. Thank you very much and have a great evening.